Well, greetings, Elk Point Community Church. Welcome to another online sermon. Today I have the privilege of being able to talk to you about marriage. And for any of us who are married, the subject should be near and dear to our hearts. I think we should really want to have strong and healthy marriages. In fact, it should be one of the very most important things in our lives. And as I think about the order of priorities, really God first, marriage is second. And so it's just very high as we think about it. And so today I think that we're going to be blessed by what God's word tells us. So let's begin by taking a look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. We'll just read through the whole thing together, then we'll stop and we'll pray, and then we'll go into it, talk about it line by line, verse by verse. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. And speaking of prayer, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for this time to be in 1 Peter. Thank you for the opportunity to be reading and speaking and preaching about marriage and about relationship and the authority that exists there and submission, and also being a good authority, a righteous authority. And so we just ask your blessing on this day. I pray that you will use the things in your word here to strengthen every marriage of every person who is hearing this, that each and every one of those marriages would be blessed, Lord, would be stronger, would be healthier, would be more honoring to you. Thank you so much. We love you and we praise you. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. So going back to verse 1 and speaking about this a word at a time, if necessary, we'll start with the very first word, likewise. Now this likewise is kind of like a therefore, so we need to look back and think about why it's there. It says, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, and that gives us a clue. It's talking about being subject or being submissive. And so if we look back before this, we're just in the midst of a section talking about this. So the likewise is like being subject to the government authorities, and it's like being subject if you are a servant to your masters. And so this is another case of that same thing, dealing with the same subject, submission to authority. And so this says, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands. And so the submission is from a wife to a husband. So we're talking about that there is an authority that exists in marriage that God says here through this book of 1 Peter. So the word subject sometimes might say submit. It would be another word for it. And so we're talking about subjecting yourself to an authority or being submissive to authority. It's a woman to a man. And let's just say right off the bat that this is not an easy thing to do. This is not necessarily for some, wouldn't be an easy thing to teach or talk about. I don't mind because I'm just sharing what the Word of God says. I would never say this on my own. This is what the Word of God says. I wouldn't have come up with this. But this is what God says, and this is what His wisdom says, and this is the truth, and this is the way it works. So the reason it's so difficult is partly that we could say, well, because that's not the way the world works. That's not the way the world thinks about things. The world doesn't say that a wife, a woman, should submit to her husband, a man. The world tells you those two are just completely equal in every role, every role, in every quality, in every way, and that a woman shouldn't submit to man. And so that's how the world looks at it. But God gives us a different thoughts about it. He gives us his wisdom on it. And so he says, wives should be subject to their own husbands, not to just every man, but to their own husbands. So within marriage, there is an authority that the man has over the woman. But again, why is this so difficult? It's not just because the world makes it difficult, but there's a reason the world makes it difficult. If you go back all the way to Genesis 3:16, this goes back to the fall and the curse that came after this, where God said to the woman in 3:16, Genesis 3:16, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you. And that's the way it's stated in the ESV. Sometimes, yeah, I think maybe in the NIV it says your desire will be for your husband, but he shall rule over you. But it's more that idea that there will be forever a power struggle between man and woman in marriage. And the woman, again, this is what the Bible says. This is not what Heath says. This is not what Heath makes it. But I get this from the Word of God. It says it right there. The woman will have a desire to be in control, but the husband will rule over her. And so basically, when you think about all the things that are going on in the world right now, and some of them are good and some of them are bad in terms of when we think about equal rights and we think about these things, that generally the feminism that we see says a woman can do anything a man can do, and a man is not in position over a woman, even in marriage. In fact, they might even say that women could do things better than man can do. And in many ways, that's true. And in many ways, even when we think about marriage, how it should work, it should not be like one person dominating over another, commanding the other person what to do. It's so much deeper than that. But with that being said, God says that there's something now that is really built into us. It will be built into a marriage that a wife will want to be in control and will want basically the man to submit to her and submit to her will. And God is saying that as Christians, we need to think differently about this. And so he's really speaking to the women here. He's saying, you need to not follow that line of thinking. Rather, you need to submit to your own husband. And you need to acknowledge that God has put him in authority in your marriage and that you need to submit to him in that. And it doesn't mean that he gets everything right or he's better than you at much of anything. But it means that you willingly do that because you obey God and because God has given this, because God knows this is what's best for you and for your marriage. And this is what's going to bring out the best in your husband. And this is what's going to bring out the best in you. So just like a servant submits to the master or people submit to governing authorities, wives are called by God to be submissive to their husbands. Now, we should, at the same time, remember the concept of mutual submission, because God does call all believers to submit to each other. And I think if we think about getting this right, this should be built on mutual submission. So as we think about marriage, there should be also a certain kind of submission that exists between man and wife where it goes both ways, where the husband does submit to wife and wife does submit to husband because they always put the best for each other first. And so as we think about that, we should keep that in mind, and we should never have the picture of lording over, because, you know, Jesus spoke about that. He says, you know, that you're not to lord over, but you're to be a servant. So when we think about what it means to be an authority, it means to be a servant, and it means to want the best and to do the best for those under your authority. Now, so likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. And so the word I want to key in on there to begin with is some gives us the idea. So he's basically saying some of your husbands are not believers. You should submit to your husband. And those who are not believers, then you will be a good witness and you may win your husband over by your conduct. That's what you're called to do as a wife here in this case, if your husband's not a believer, that you are to conduct yourself in such a way where he sees Christ's light shining through you. And quite possibly, this is not guaranteed, it doesn't always happen, it doesn't always happen when we want it to happen, but quite possibly this is the way that God will work. He will work through you. I mean, I know he will work through you. It's just whether your husband actually responds to this and sees this. And that, again, is up to God. That's between him and God. But he will work through you and your conduct to show your husband the Lord and to preach your husband the gospel, but not just with words, but with your conduct and with your action. So, wives are instructed to win their unbelieving husbands to Christ by their conduct. So rather than constantly preaching at them or debating them, they are really instructed to do it with action. Now, that doesn't mean that you never ever say anything, you never ever use words. I think this is the way that this should work, is that when God moves you, when God gives you the opportunity, you share the gospel with your husband with words. But so much more of the time, you will need to just step out of the way and let God work and let God do his thing. And then you pray for your husband, but then you submit to your husband and you serve your husband in this godly way. Now, again, just like all the other authorities that we've seen when we look back on this, that is, you submit and you follow. It's even called obey here. So long as the authority is not telling you to sin or to go against God. And then you respect and you honor the authority in that way. So here, we do have this idea of less talk and more action as far as how you are a witness to your husband as a wife. Now, I would say that there is general application to that in so many ways as we think about that as Christians, that it's not always that we can argue people into the faith. I mean, in fact, that's very rare, that you argue somebody into the faith, that you have a good enough argument, you know, that you just convince somebody by words. So you do that, you have to put that information out there. It's God's spirit that has to work. But then what we're called to do is then to put our faith to action and to show our faith. And so we need to do that. And so we need to keep that in mind. In many, many relationships we have with non-Christians, this is how we're going to be able to witness. We use words on occasion, but then conduct ourselves in such a way where they actually can see our faith in action. Now, what if the husband is a believer then? Because this spoke about, you know, submitting and honoring so that if your husband's not a believer. So if your husband is a believer, can you not submit to your husband then in that way? And I think that this is really addressed also with the whole master-servant relationship there. And it's actually addressed in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1-2. It says, "Let all who are under a yoke as bondservants regard their own masters as worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and the teaching may not be reviled. Those who have believing masters," so here's believing masters like believing husbands, "those who have believing masters must not be disrespectful on the ground that they are brothers. Rather, they must serve all the better, since those who benefit by their good service are believers and beloved." So if you are a woman and you have a believing husband, you should all the more submit to him, because you are both Christians and because you're serving somebody who is a brother in Christ in that way. So yes, you should submit to your husband if he's a believer. Verse 3 says, "Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold, jewelry, or the clothing." So we've made a transition here. So the first part, I would actually divide this passage up into three parts. The first part had to do with wives submitting to their husbands. Now it's talking about adorning yourselves in beauty and where beauty actually comes from. And then it connects that to the first part, to authority. And then the third part, we'll talk about men. So first two parts for women, third part for men. So here he says, "Do not let your adorning be external." And then in my Bible, it has really like a parenthetical dashes. It says, "the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold, jewelry, and the clothing you wear." So this is really actually very interesting. the adorning that's spoken of here is what the women would do to present themselves as beautiful. And he's saying that I am going to tell you, and I want to talk to you about a way that you can adorn yourself and make yourself beautiful that is far more significant and far more important than those other kind of things that you can do to make yourself beautiful. Now, the word adorn or adorning or to adorn, actually, this is very, very interesting, comes from a Greek word. It's a verb form of kosmos. Kosmos, and that's probably a word that you may be very familiar with because it's often translated as world. And in the noun form, kosmos is something that is well arranged, that which has order or something harmoniously ordered, a system or a system where order prevails. And so that's why the word is used for world, because when people look at the world, they see the creation, they see the order, and it bears testimony to the fact that there's a creator. So it's really a great word as you think about that, even though that word's been hijacked for really for other things, to teach, you know, non-biblical things. The verb form means to order or to adorn or to put in order, okay? So this is actually really cool as you think about that. We have some words that come from this that we're probably really familiar with. So when we say cosmos, when we're using that in English, we mean the ordered universe. Another word is cosmopolitan. Cosmopolitan, that's literally a citizen of the world. And cosmetics, this is the one I like the most in the context that we're talking about, cosmetics. Those things we put on, you know, that women put on, those things you put on in order to bring out your beauty, to highlight your beauty, to kind of put yourself together, to be put together, like the makeup and things that you wear. You see that word, you know, the relation there, adorning. Adorning means, really, I would say, to put yourself in order, to put things in order, to make things presentable. And that's where a lot of times when people put on makeup, they might say to put myself together, or sometimes they may say to make myself presentable or something like that. So makeup's not mentioned here, but I think it's very much like these things. He mentions the braiding of hair, the putting on of gold jewelry, or the clothing you wear. So these are all external things. Now we have to keep in mind, he is not saying that you cannot do these things. But he's saying that these things should not be the source of your beauty. The source of your beauty should come from something else, something that's deeper and better than this. And there's a beauty that's talked about here. And he says, and here's where he talks about it in verse 4. He says, "But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious." And so here he says, don't let your beauty just be a thing of the outside, you know, the way that you do your hair, the jewelry you wear, the clothes you wear, you know, I add the makeup you put on, all those kind of things. You may focus on those things, you may focus on them far too much. He's saying that that is not really your source of beauty. Your source of beauty comes from within. And it's the person that you are in your heart. It's in your heart. And that's where he wants you to adorn yourself. He wants you to adorn yourself in this way. He says that this kind of beauty is better because it's imperishable. The other beauty fades away, and we know that. And we know you can work as hard as you want at making yourself look relevant and making yourself look beautiful. And you can see that age will have a way to take that away. Also sickness and illness and all kinds of other things take that away, because we're fading away. In these bodies, and these bodies and the glory that's in these bodies won't last forever. And so if you just focus on the external, you're focused on something that's perishable. But if you focus on the inside, you're focusing on something that is imperishable. Now, why is it that this beauty, he says, of a gentle and quiet spirit, he says, this which in God's sight is very precious. Why is it that a gentle and quiet spirit is precious to God? Because this kind of beauty, this inner beauty that comes from the heart, requires trust in the Lord. It requires faith, and it requires surrender to Him. And those are characteristics and qualities that can exist in you that are far more important and actually far more beautiful in a woman or a person than any outward thing that you could ever do to yourself. So that is, in God's sight, is very precious. Now he goes on and he gives an example of this. And this is how, if you have that kind of quiet spirit, that kind of humility, it's precious in God's sight. He said, "For this is how the holy women," you know, those who were set apart for God and his purpose, "who hoped in God used to adorn themselves by submitting to their own husbands." And so he gives the example of Sarah. He says, "As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening." And so Sarah is a good example of this inner beauty, that she submitted to Abraham, and when she did that, and she did that with a quiet and humble spirit, it doesn't mean that she always did. There were a couple occasions, but just when God characterized, you know, what kind of woman she was, this is what he said was very beautiful about her and made her the way she did this was very precious in God's sight. So Sarah is an example. She called Abraham Lord and she obeyed him. And you follow in that example. If you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Now, I think what you have here is you have the fact that it can be a little bit scary to do that, to surrender, to submit, you know, to do that. And it's why I said it requires a lot of trust on God's part. So you have this little battle between two things. You have the battle between fear and the battle between trust. Trust. If you submit yourself to your husband, who are you actually submitting yourself to? You're submitting yourself to the Lord. Who are you actually trusting? You're trusting yourself to the Lord. And so it takes a lot of overcoming that as you think about that. But when we do that, when we trust God, then he considers that precious or beautiful in his sight. And so, ladies, this is a great encouragement for you. But I want to say that that's what it means. He wrote specifically to the ladies, but the application, it applies just as well to us men as we think about that. Now, I would say men are equally concerned with outward appearances. We're equally concerned with what people think about us and what people see. It may not be having to do with our hair or our clothes. I mean, it could be in some cases, but sometimes it is the image that we portray. It's the success that we think that we have, or the intelligence that maybe we convey, or maybe it could be strength or health or vitality. Now, there are numerous Bible verses that tell us, you know, God is not impressed by what's on the outside. You know, when I think about King David, when it talked about him, you know, the youngest brother, like there were all these other things that were so impressive about his older brothers. But God says he wasn't looking at those things. He was looking at David's heart. That's what God looks at. You know, and there are other cases in the Bible when you think about in Psalms and Proverbs where it describes, you know, God not being impressed, you know, by a king's army or by a horse or by legs or by the legs of a man, strength of a man, power. God is not impressed by those things like we are. God is looking in the heart. That's what God looks at for beauty, for what he wants to see. And this really reminded me of a song, it's an older song now. It's by a group called For Him. I don't know if any of you remember that group. This would kind of be putting the same message in a form for men as you think about it. So this is applying to men. It's The Measure of a Man. And the chorus goes like this. It says, "I found out the measure of a man is not how tall you stand, how wealthy or intelligent you are. I found the measure of a man God knows and understands, for he looks inside to the bottom of your heart. For what is in your heart defines the measure of a man." So it's the same way for a man as it is for a woman. It's not the outward beauty. It's not the outward excess. It's not the image that you portray. It's what's really in your heart. And we're being reminded of that. And so we connect those things together, the submission. So God calls wives to submit, and it takes a lot of that kind of beauty that comes from within to do that, because oftentimes it's not an easy thing to do, and it goes against what happened as a result of the fall, you know, the curse and women really wanting to be in control and men ruling over them. Okay, we have that, and we have requiring a lot of trust in the Lord and a lot of realizing that that is really what makes you beautiful. When you can handle that as a woman, it's a very, very challenging and very difficult thing. And it takes the Lord changing our hearts. And this is, like, again, I apply it as men, same kind of thing. You know, it's, that's what God's looking for. He's looking for that in our hearts. And that's a good transition to actually speak about men. It says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. And so this would be the third part. This is the part talking to men. I would say this is talking, giving us instructions, telling us how to be a righteous husband. So if you think your wife is being called to submit to you, you as husbands are actually called to be the kind of husband that makes it easy for her to submit to you. As you think about it, I mean, as we think about submitting to bosses and authority, we have those kind of bosses that are difficult to work for. We talked about those last week. And we have those kind of bosses that are a joy to work for. I think the Bible is calling us men, us guys. Now, we've talked to the ladies, but it's calling us guys to be the kind of men that women, your wives, will enjoy submitting to, will willingly submit to, because you are the kind of person that loves and cares for her and cherishes her and builds her up and protects her. And you do that, you do it God's way, then it makes it a joy and it makes this whole thing work together. Now, when we as men don't do that, then we make it very difficult for our wives to submit to us. We're actually causing damage and harm to our own selves. We don't even really realize it. And so this is calling us to be a certain kind of husband. And also, I think we as husbands are not to ever say, hey, you are to submit to me. This is what the Bible says. That's the Bible's instruction to your wife, not the Bible instruction to you to tell your wife. But this is the instruction that's given to you. And you've had other instruction, like the idea I gave earlier of mutual submission. You know, it's just not a matter of you making all the decisions. It is a matter of you guys submitting to one another and making those decisions together. And the way I really think that this should work is, though, there are times when you, as the wife, allow your husband to be the leader and to make a final decision about something. And husbands, as that in that position, you do that and you do it well and you do it with everything, your wife in the best interest. And you do it in a way that would please God and you remember him first. So don't remind your wife to submit to you. And also, I would say, don't make your marriage a matter of your wife obeying a bunch of your commands or even obeying your commands. Again, the way in practice this looks, that you're making all kinds of decisions together. Sometimes there may be a final decision where you make as a husband there. So here's how God wants you to conduct yourself. So as you look at this, he says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. So first thing I want to hold on is live. Live. It's just very simple. Live with your wives. I think about that. I could kind of skip right to the next part in an understanding way, but I think this is important. Be there. Be in it together. Be working on things. Be problem solving together. Don't be absent. Don't be gone. Be someone that's described as living in the household where you live, that you are part of it, you are in it together. All right, that's the first thing that I see here, the first bit of advice for husbands. And so be a big part of not only that marriage, but your whole family. If you have kids and everything that you're doing it together. You're in it together. So he says then, in an understanding way. So live with your wives in an understanding way. More literally, that means having knowledge. You need to live with your wife in a way where you have knowledge. I think understanding way is a good translation of that. You think that you need to want to understand your wife. In fact, you should want to have that kind of knowledge to understand what makes your wife tick. What makes your wife happy? What pleases her? What builds her up? What strengthens her? What helps her? How you best can come alongside her, how your relationship with her works. You remember maybe when you were in college, or even if you didn't go to college, you've heard people talk about it, majoring, deciding what you're going to major in. If you are a husband, you are to major in your wife. You are to major in her. You are to try to learn everything that you can about her, to know her sometimes better than she knows herself. This should be your ambition, and not in a proud or any kind of a haughty way, but you should do it because you really are interested in her and you really want to put that to work to make your marriage better. You should want to have the kind of knowledge that you know something about marriage and how marriage works, especially your own marriage. And you really work at that, and you really never think that you've reached all knowledge. You keep trying to learn. You'd be willing to read books and to study and even to make changes in your life to bring out something better in your wife. And I think that's what it means to live in knowledge in this kind of an understanding way. Also, I think maybe you might think, when you think understanding, is the ability to give grace to your wife and knowing that she's different than you and that she thinks differently. And rather than be frustrated by those kind of things, to embrace them and to want to know about them and to want to understand them. And I think that's how we should be as husbands. Now, he says this, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. Showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. So, first of all, as you look at that, this whole idea of respect and submitting, you as a husband are to show honor to your wife. Honor is actually even stronger than respect. See, higher than respect. It's very much like respect, but we're showing honor. Okay. Now he says, you do this to her as the weaker vessel. Now I would say usually the first thing that's kind of most obvious as we think about this is saying she's a vessel. You're a vessel too. Okay, you're both vessels. You're both vessels for God. She's called the weaker vessel, but it's not a bad weakness. It's a good weakness, and it's one that you are to show her honor for. You're to show her honor as the weaker vessel. Now, as I think about it, how is it that wives are the weaker vessel? Usually, I mean, this isn't 100% of the time, but quite normally, a husband is physically stronger. That would be kind of a norm. So it would be quite normal for like me, for instance, to look at my wife and know that I'm physically stronger than her. And so sometimes that means things like this. I accept that I do things, and I won't have it any other way. I'll carry the heavy things. I'll open the door. I'll do the job that requires strength. And when I do those things, if I do them for her, I'm not doing those for her to say that she can't do it or I'm better than her. I'm doing it to honor her. Now, if she felt dishonored by me doing that, I have to listen to her in that case. But that's not how it works in our marriage. That's not how we are. And I don't think really that's really what it's saying. So if you're a wife and your husband wishes to honor you by carrying something that's heavy, you really ought to consider letting him do that, because he's really trying to do this to honor you. Now, there may be other ways that a woman is the weaker vessel. I don't really know. I mean, you may think sometimes it may be that she's emotionally weaker in certain situations, but other times women are so much stronger and so much capable emotionally. So I don't know about that for sure exactly, but I say a kind of a good illustration that might make sense here that I've heard is that you could kind of, guys, think of yourself as the Corral. You know what I mean by the Corral? It's those white dishes that you get from Walmart. You know, you use them every day, you use them all the time. But your wife is more like the fine china that you save for special occasions. And it actually could break a little easier, but that doesn't mean that it's worth less. In fact, in this example, the china is actually worth more. It's more precious. And so you treat your wife in that way, just to honor her and respect her. And that way, when you think weaker, it's more like you're thinking finer or more delicate. More delicate might be a good word there. And so there are ways that illustration breaks down. But I think that you can think about honoring your wife and just showing her that honor with your willingness to do the dirty jobs, to do the hard jobs, to do the things that she doesn't really want to do, because you want to show her respect and honor in that way. So guys, we're not called to lord over, we're called to serve in this way. And then he says, since they are heirs with you of grace and life. Now we need to remember that we are in this together. Husbands and wives are in this together. You as the man, what this is telling you is that you are not superior to your wife. And so if your wife submits, and I should mention this before, as you think about it, submission is not a matter of superiority. Okay, it's not at all. And so I think that we as husbands are being called right here to remember that. If our wives are called to submit to us and we're called to be this kind of husband, we're to remember that we're co-heirs in Christ. We are in this together. And so we're encouraged by that, and that tells us that we're not superior. And then finally, it says, so that your prayers may not be hindered. God is warning men. God is saying, you know, what goes on between you and your wife, if it's not going in the right direction, if you're not treating your wife in the right way, it's going to come between you and me, is what God says. This will hinder your prayer life. And I think that's not all that it's going to hinder, but it will hinder your prayer life. There's going to be a barrier between you and me, God says. And so we as men need to remember that. If we're given this position of authority, if we're blessed to be married, to have a wife who's called to submit to us, then we need to do what's best for her. And we need to honor her, and we need to serve her in this way. And if we don't, God says that we're going to have a problem with him. He's going to have a problem with us. And so we need to remember that, and we need to know that it's going to really affect our relationship with the Lord. So in conclusion, as I think about this, what's being said, there were these three parts that we talked about. We talked about wives submitting to husbands. We talked about beauty and adorning oneself, and how that's not a matter of what's on the outside. It's a matter of what's on the inside and the heart. And submission is an important part of that. But then lastly, we talked about the fact that as husbands, we got to be the kind of husbands that make it easy for our wives to submit, because we love them and we care for them and we honor them and we treat them like they need to be treated. And we need to remember, if we don't do that, it's going to come between us and God. So in conclusion to all this, as I think about this, husbands, you ought to do everything you can to bring out the very best in your wives. And wives, you have to do, and you should also ought to do the very best you can to bring out the best in your husband and to honor God in it and trust God in it. And it's the very best you can do. And if you're out there and you're listening to this and you're not married, I think maybe you might be married someday. This might help you look at it. Maybe you've been married. Maybe you've been widowed or something like that. And maybe you're not planning to get married or something as you think about this. But this all still tells us so much about what God is looking for in our heart and what he wants and the kind of person that he wants us to be, and how God can say things and direct things to women, and it can show us men something about ourselves. And I would say that as we think about what he said to men, it can show women something about themselves and encourage them. And so we need to be the kind of people in whatever relationships that God gives us where we want to bring out the very best for others. And so often that is going to be a humble, a quiet spirit, one that shows beauty not from our appearance or the image we portray, but from the attitudes we have about things and the way that we're willing to serve and to give to others. So let's remember that, and let's be encouraged by that today. All right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this time to share. I just ask your blessing again on everyone who's watching, whether they're married or not. And just pray, Lord, that you teach us how to have this kind of inner beauty, inner strength, that we would serve you and honor you. Thank you so much. We love you and we praise you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thanks very much for watching the end. God bless. Look forward to seeing you soon.